Because the few days before that, Sarah and I are on the couch in the evening and watching a show, and it's like, man, it's really quiet around our house. Our oldest has moved out into her first apartment. Our other daughter, Leah, she's in a full-time job, and she's been house and dog and cat and I think plant sitting this year. Has anybody else ever plant sitted? Good. And she's not home and hasn't been home for weeks. And our son, he is always working or working out or doing something. And he is gone most of the day, every day. And not to mention, you know, Sarah's dad is no longer with us. And just things have been changing so much. On top of the fact that career and life and all of those things are changing, it seems like we're in this great season of transition, where everything that used to be is no longer the same anymore. Has anybody ever felt that way? Yeah. So whether it is that you have taken on kids for the first time, whether you are transitioning to a new school or a new year as a young person, whether it is that you are taking on two kids instead of one, four instead of three, whatever that might be, we oftentimes find ourselves in these moments where everything that seemed to be normal no longer is. And today, we're going to continue our study in Joshua, and we're going to discover that God here, I think, is calling his people to pause, to remember his faithfulness, and to move forward with confidence, because the good news is God always finishes what he starts. And so this morning, would you pray with me before we read God's word? Father in heaven, today, we are indeed grateful. Grateful for your grace, grateful for the fact that you are the one who sustains us in all things, that you are the one who lays the path before us. And God, as we've been reminded so many times, God, that you don't ask us to come up with the plans. You don't ask us oftentimes to strategize. God, you just call us to look to you, to submit our plans to you, and to walk in faithful obedience and see you do what only you can do. So God, no matter where we are in our lives, what seasons we're in or have been in the past or what seasons are to come, God, may we see you in the scriptures today. May we see over and over and over again how Joshua is simply a type of Christ. God, may we see your faithfulness, the faithfulness of Jesus and his obedience to go on the cross. God, may we look forward to the fact that one day Jesus won't just bring temporary rest, but permanent rest. And God, may each of us commit to always remembering what you have done, to recount your victories, and to prepare ourselves for the days ahead. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So again, we find ourselves in the series of Joshua. So if you want to turn this morning to Joshua chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 16. So Joshua 11, 16, we're reminded that we should remember what God has done. Verse 16, so Joshua took all the land, the hill country, the Negeb, and the land of Goshen and the lowland and the Arabah and the hill country of Israel and its lowland from Mount Halak, which rises towards Seir and as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. And he captured all their kings and struck them and put them to death. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the people of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They took them all in battle, for it was the Lord's doing to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, in order that they should be devoted to destruction and should receive no mercy but be destroyed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. we see here at first glance, it might seem like what we're doing is providing a military summary of what has happened, but I think there's much more that's happening here. I think the Holy Spirit is intentionally pausing the story as Joshua and potentially others are writing it, and even before the land is divided in the chapters and the weeks to come. But why is he doing that? Why does he pause here to recount, to remember what's happened? I think it's because before God calls his people to another season of obedience, he reminds them of his faithfulness in the previous one. And this morning, if you're taking notes, there's going to be multiple times here for you to begin to think about what God has done in your life, to remember, to recount, and to prepare. So as we are reading this story of the children of Israel, I want you to begin thinking about and writing down what are those things that God wants you to remember or recount in your lives. So first here, we want to remember some of God's promises, as Paul referenced many of them last week. Long before Joshua, God made a promise to Abraham that his offspring, he will give the land to Abraham's offspring. To Moses, he said, I will bring you into the land. And to Joshua, he said, no man shall stand before you, and I will be with you. Joshua 11 is a story of God keeping his word. He's faithful to do that. It's not Joshua accomplishing something great. And if I were honest as a human, as someone who likes to think about strategy and all of those kind of things, I would love to stand up here week after week and tell you how awesome Joshua was, how great his plans were, his military strategy, how awesome of a leader he was because of what he did and what he said. But it's not about Joshua accomplishing something great. It's God doing exactly what he said he would do. We need to remember that and remember God's promises. We also need to remember God's presence and how important it is. Joshua, again, wasn't successful because he was a brilliant general. He was only successful because God was with him. This is the nature of his success. Think back all the way through the book. The Jordan stopped. The walls fell. The sun stood still. And the northern armies fled. And we can think about all of the different battles that have happened. And who accomplished all of this? God did. God accomplished all of these things, and he did so because of his presence. If we look back to Joshua 1 in one of the promises that God made to Joshua, in verse 5 it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He says this, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We think back to all that Israel was facing, giants in the land. They were facing armies that were significantly bigger than them. In moments of disobedience, or at least a moment, they realized they couldn't do it on their own. And time after time after time, they were reminded that it is God's plans, it's God's ways that matter. We need to stop all of the things that we're doing at times and ask the question, has God said? Did God tell me to do this or say this or go there? And if not, we need to back up and figure out, what did he say? What has he called us to do? Because it's God's presence that wins the battles in our lives. It's not us. We also need to remember here in these verses some God's patience. It says that Joshua made war for a long time. I don't know about you. I've never been in a battle for 5 to 7 years. I've never been with millions of people moving across a land for 5 to 7 years, not including the 40 that were before, which certainly doesn't include the generations that were in slavery in Egypt before that. But it says in these verses that Joshua made war a long time. It's easy for us to overlook, but it's incredibly encouraging. God's promises were fulfilled time after time after time. And he didn't fulfill them overnight. I mean, who would vote for that plan? God, fix everything in my life today. Yeah, I'm for that plan. Like, do whatever you want. Just make it all happen today. But he doesn't. I mean, certainly God would have had the power to come through and just wipe out everybody with, I don't know, tornadoes, hurricanes. I mean, whatever. He could have done it. But we're reminded here that God's faithfulness and his patience over time with his people. Victory came one battle, one city, and one step at a time. As we think about our lives, and we want things to happen quickly, remember God's faithfulness. Remember the ways that God works over time in our lives. He is good and faithful. And for us to not mistake God's pace for God's absence. Just because something takes time doesn't mean that God isn't working. We're also reminded about God's sovereignty in verses 19 and 20. No coalition could stop God. No king could stop God. No hardened heart could stop God. Everything unfolded exactly according to God's purposes. It's good news, isn't it? Romans 8, we're reminded, if God is for us, what's the rest? Who can be against us? This doesn't remove human responsibility. They still needed to be faithful and obey, right? But it does remind us of God's sovereignty. He is in control of all things. We're reminded in Proverbs 2. It says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. That God will do what he needs to do to accomplish his purposes in us, through us, and around us every single time. And for us to remember, if nothing could stop God's purposes for Israel, nothing can stop his purpose for this church. If nothing could stop God's purpose for Israel, nothing can stop his purpose for your life. I will oftentimes feel like I have failed. There are times in life where I feel like I am unworthy. Somehow that I've done something so bad or so horrible that God will just cast me to the side and be done with me. I want us to remember today, if we are still breathing today, anyone? Hopefully. He's not done with us. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. God will accomplish his purposes in our lives. And also for us to remember before we move forward. Why does Joshua stop here and recount multiple times in multiple ways in chapter 11 what God has done? Why doesn't he go directly into chapter 13 and 12 and 13 where they begin to hand out different parts of the land and they begin to go? Because remembering is part of how we prepare. For us, it's easy in our humanness to just go forward, to just push harder, try more. But it's vastly important for us to pause and to remember what God has done, to remember who he is, to remember every promise that he has fulfilled, to remember his character and his goodness and his greatness, to remember how he accomplishes his purposes completely over and over and over and over again. But we're reminded here to remember, because we all know we're prone to forget. And if we even think about the pattern throughout Scripture, and there are many, many times the children of Israel and the early church were called to remember. There's the 12 stones at the Jordan River. Do you remember that? They were called to remember and to make a spot there for them to do that. There's the Passover meal that they're called and we're called to remember. The Feast of Days, there's Psalms of Remembrance. And today, we even, as we celebrated communion last week, it's a moment for us to pause and to remember, to point our heart and our mind and our eyes to Jesus and not to circumstances in our life. God tells us to remember. He also calls us to recount some of the victories that he has given. Look in Joshua 11, 21 through 23. And Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir and Anab, and from all the hill country of Judah and from the hill country of Israel. Joshua devoted them to destruction with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the people of Israel. Only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod did some remain. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. And Joshua gave it as inheritance to Israel according to the tribal allotments, and the land had rest from war. For us, we need to remember what once seemed impossible. For him to talk about the Anakim here, these giants, remember 40 years earlier, how many spies were sent out? Do you remember? 12. And 10 came back and they were afraid. There were giants in the land. Certainly we can't take it. These are the giants they were afraid of. And Joshua and the Lord here reminds them, remember those giants that you were facing 40 years ago. They're dead. They're gone. We have defeated them too. We have laid them out for destruction. Where once you just seemed like a grasshopper, God says, I have defeated them. Although I don't know that we're facing giants, at least I don't think we are, physically anyway, but metaphorically, I think we oftentimes do. We think about how things in our lives are oftentimes way too big, way too hard, way too complicated, way too scary. There's too much for God to do. And we just keep our eyes on our circumstances. We miss the fact that God can do what seems impossible to us. He will accomplish his plans. Sometimes it might be a relationship that could never be restored. Maybe it's a sin that you've thought that you can never overcome. Maybe it's a diagnosis that leaves you overwhelmed, a ministry challenge that felt too big, a calling that seemed beyond your ability, a family member that just won't quit. We all have these moments. We all have these Anakim people in trials in our life. God's bigger than them. We also see that they're recounting what God has done. Notice just his tone. Notice the things that he talks about. He doesn't go in and talk about the dramatic battle scenes. He doesn't talk about the blood and the gore. He's not talking about how exciting it was to be there in the moment to see those things. There's no lengthy description, no suspense. He simply just says that Joshua cut them off. But once terrified, Israel is now an afterthought. Because with God, our giants become smaller. Because God proves himself to be bigger and greater. And once what once defined Israel's fear now defines God's faithfulness. For us to remember that one of the healthiest spiritual disciplines, I think, is telling the stories of God's faithfulness. Just to recount all that he has done, all that he has accomplished. Not to boast about our own lives and what we have done, but to recount what he has done. It's built in throughout all of Scripture. It is built into the daily, monthly, annually, every part of the children of Israel's lives. They are called to remember and to recount how good, how great, how wonderful is their God. For us too, this should be a discipline in our lives to magnify him, to point our eyes to him. And again, it's why they celebrated the Passover and why they built memorial stones. It's why the Psalms repeatedly recount God's mighty acts. God's people are storytellers, not of fiction, but of God's faithfulness. We tell the story of what God has done. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 102. I'm sorry, 103. You might find these words familiar with one of the songs that we sing. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and its place known knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is calling from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." We need to be people who remember that God keeps his promises. He is faithful. We need to remember his sovereignty and his power, his grace. We need to recount in our lives the victories that he has accomplished. None of us are here by accident. He has brought us through everything we have been through. He has been there with us. And I'm reminded, in Philippians, it says this in chapter 1, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Isn't that good news? He is faithful. He is not done with us. Joshua 11 is not the end. It is a transition. The very next chapter, it begins with, there remains yet very much land to possess. There's more coming. But remembering is part of what we do to prepare for what is ahead. God wasn't finished. Israel wasn't finished. Joshua wasn't finished. The pause was preparation for the next assignment. It's true for us too. God has more for us. He never reminds his people of his faithfulness so they can remain where they are. He has plans for you and I. And he reminds us so that we will trust him enough to move forward. I mean, like the song it talks about, like we are weak people. I mean, we might want to act like we are strong. We are committed. We're faithful. But give it an hour, right? We'll struggle with sin again. We'll struggle with doubt again. Anxiety will creep in. We are weak people. But he reminds us and causes us to pause many times in our lives to recount all that he is so that we can move forward. I'm trusting him. As we read in Philippians 1, it's the same God, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. It's the same God that was leading Israel through the promised land, through every battle. The God who fulfilled his promises to Abraham, same God. The one who promised Moses, same God. The one who led Israel through Joshua, same God. The God who raised Jesus from the dead, yep, same God. And the God that's still working in us, he's the same. Joshua points us to Jesus over and over again. He led God's people into an earthly inheritance, but Jesus will lead us to a heavenly one. All the things of the earth will pass away. Jesus or Joshua won battles that prepared Israel for life in the land. Jesus, he won the ultimate victory over sin so that we might be forgiven. He defeated death, Satan, making our futures secure forever and ever for all of eternity. And Joshua's work was incomplete because there was still land to possess. But Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. So this morning, I want to encourage you, take some time, today even, a day of rest, to remember all that God has done in your life, to recount all of the victories that he has accomplished in your life, to make a list of all of the giants in your life that he has defeated, and they are no more. Lay before him your fears, the things of which you doubt and worry about, and recount his victories, every single one. Remind yourself that in all things God is faithful, that he is the one who began this work in you. He will be faithful to complete it. And to begin to think about what are the next steps that God's calling you to take. And if your life is anything like mine and the children of Israel, he does not lay it all out for us. Although I would wish for that too. He simply calls us to hear him, recognize his presence in our lives, and take the next step of faith. What is that next step for you? As he causes us to remember, to recount, and to begin to prepare for what is ahead. Because he's not finished writing your story. I don't know what you're facing today. I know that on any given day, if we were to pull just the people in this room, just our church family, there are some really difficult things that we're facing. There are some struggles that we want to forget about, that we want to hide from. There are treasures that we want to keep for ourselves. But I want to encourage us all, even together, in your small groups this week, in your families, to sit and to remember and recount what God has done. And talk about and think about what is the next step for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful. We're grateful that even in our frailty and weakness, God, that you have not given up on us. God, that you somehow in your grace and in your sovereign will, God, you choose people like us. So God, today we take great comfort and confidence in the fact that you are faithful to complete what you have started. God, that you don't just complete things, but you complete them fully. God, that your promises are sure. And God, that you are patient with us in the midst of it. Help us today. Help us this week to take the moment for a pause and to think about you. To turn our eyes from the things of this earth and to think about who you are and what you've done. And God, may we be blown away each and every step that you lay before us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.